Acts chapter 27, verses 13 to 26 and verses 30 to 41. I'll start the reading. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting off the sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the city's sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceeding tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.' Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. We will move on to verse 30 to 41. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had left down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all we were 276 persons in the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship, if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile losing the rudder ropes. And they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves." This is the reading of the word of God. Amen. We will now invite our speaker this morning, Reverend Gilson Gwendu. He lives in Leyndon, very married with 4 children and a very beautiful wife.
Thank you, Jania. Welcome everyone to our service this morning. If you've been here for the first time, this is your father's house. You are not a stranger at all, but you are part of the family. You've been wandering somewhere. Today you've come back home. So we welcome you with both hands. Before I start preaching to you, I just want to remind you tonight, there's a celebration of churches together at St. Gabriel's. You are all invited. So, hope to meet you there tonight. Right. This story that has been read to us is quite familiar. We have heard it maybe when we were in Sunday school or as we're on our journey of the Christian life. But the one thing I want to bring before you this morning is about shipwreck. What is it that they call shipwreck? I've got no clue. But well, you have to listen to my explanation if I will explain it well. And my theme today is no shipwreck can thwart God's plan. I want to repeat that again. No shipwreck can thwart God's plan. In my preparation, when I was reading that passage, I tried to find out how often have I been nearer a shipwreck. I looked around my life. I haven't been. I was listening to Jania when the children were explaining, have you been on a ferry or on a ship? Only Corey, I think, is the one who explained. So the majority of us, we are also in the same predicament. We haven't been near a shipwreck. I was reading this book, X for Everyone, by Tom Wright. He explains one time when he was on sabbatical on a ship, he was invited to come and give a speech about Paul's experience on a ship. So he says, before he started his lecture, there happened to be a storm on the sea, and the ship was being tossed backwards and forwards. He says the piano, which was in the lecture room, slid from the other end to the other end, only to be stopped by the quick action of the crewmen who were on there. This is the near experience I had of a shipwreck. The other one is when I watch television and seeing those documentaries on television when they say there is such a ship that was lost on sea, but it's not actually the experience. We want first-hand experience. One thing from the story that we heard this morning, I want to point to you is, if your guide is wrong, you are bound to have shipwreck. Amen? Amen. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, we cannot go on the sea because the sea is going to be rough. But they ignored that warning. How were ships guided in those years? They said they were looking at stars, the moon and everything, and the land also was a guidance. As technology improved, they had magnetic compasses. But magnetic compasses had a disadvantage. If the ship is being tossed around, it dropped the ground. So in the end, there is nothing guiding the ship, isn't it? As technology here increased, I looked on the internet and saw 30 items that are used to guide a ship. It's all about guidance, right? In verse 10, Paul warns the dangers that may encounter if advice is not taken. I once went on Thames River with a friend of mine. He's got a small boat. But there's some of this equipment I saw on there. We could actually see the fish around the boat, looking at the gadgets that were in the boat. And also, you've got gadgets that shows you what are the nearest other ships moving around where you are. So all these equipment is needed so that it can give you a guidance. Guidance is very important. If you have the wrong guidance, you will have a shipwreck. Amen? Amen. But shipwreck cannot thwart God's plan. Even though Paul went through all these things, God wanted him for something up front. God wanted Paul to preach the gospel. And we'll hear as we go along if that happened. If you've got a Bible in front of you, please open Timothy, 2 Timothy 2. If you are there, I will start to read. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Herminius and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Exactly what happened on this ship. Paul told them, don't go on the sea. But they discouraged one another by not listening to what Paul was saying. This morning, no, it was actually last night, I took my toolbox from the garage. I didn't want my wife to see it, because usually whenever I bring gadgets that I'm going to use in my sermon, I hide them from her. But this last night she saw it. She said, what's that toolbox doing in the kitchen? I said, no, I want to use it for my preparations tomorrow. In order to avoid a shipwreck, we need guidance. We need gadgets. Whether it's a compass or a sat-nav, whatever it is, you need it. But if there is a bad apple in the basket, it will spoil the other apples. Am I right? I've got a toolbox here. In my toolbox, there's hammers, pliers, and all other sort of things. But there are two of the items in the toolbox. Because of the shipwreck, it's being tossed from one end to the other by the waves. But these things in there, they don't damage each other. Only when one bad apple comes in there, then the things in the toolbox start saboting each other. For example, the nail being hammered by a hammer into something. The sabotage is straight away. But they've been sailing together in the same toolbox without any disturbance. Even the shipwreck, the waves were tossing the ship from one end to the other. They didn't even damage each other. Only when one, who is a bad apple, has appeared on the scene, then the nail and the two becomes enemy to each other. So advice is very important, and it must be taken seriously. The second thing, storms can cause shipwreck. Did you know that? The life that we live in, no one can tell me has never been in a storm. Yes, you have not been in a ship, but you have been in a storm. But there is a promise that comes from God. He says, if you go in a storm with the Lord Jesus, you won't perish. Paul also said to the men in verse 23, the angel of God spoke to me last night. He said, no one will perish. That's the promise of God. If you go in a storm with God, you won't perish. But most of the time when things are tough, when we are in a storm, God becomes the secondary thing, instead of God being the first thing. I've been there. I remember before I came into ministry, I asked questions, where is God in all this? I lost my job on the railways. And because I thought I was a staunch believer, but when I lost my job, I asked God, where are you, God, if this is happening to me? If you go in the storm with God, you've got the assurance that he will take you through. I'm reminded of this woman in the book of Mark chapter 5. For 12 years, she had lost everything. All her financial savings had gone because she was seeking medical help. But she found none. 12 years. Some of us could have abandoned our faith if we had gone for all that long without help from the God who is supposed to be God of help. This woman didn't give up. One day, as she was walking in the street, she heard about people talking about Jesus. She didn't want to meet that Jesus. No, she had one thing in mind. She knew if you go in a storm with God, you will survive. Listen what she does. She walks behind the crowd. She's walking behind. What does she do? She grabs the hem of Jesus' gown. And power came out from holding that hem of Jesus' gown. And the Bible said she was healed. Straight away, just by touching the gown of Jesus. If you go in a storm, irrespective of how rough the storm is, if you are with Jesus, you won't experience shipwreck. Amen? This woman was healed straight away by just holding Jesus' garment. She was healed. What was in her mind? There is someone who is greater than the storm. There is someone who is greater than the shipwreck. No shipwreck can thwart God's plans for you and me. During that voyage that Paul was experienced, he warned the centurion of the dangers on the sea in bad weather. The centurion ignored Paul and listened to the captain, and they went on sea. Such behavior is similar in life today. Sometimes we ignore the good guidance from his word, and we listen to friends, relatives, and we ignore the good guidance. That's sabotage. You are sabotaging the good experience that you've been told. Those preachers who have preached to you before. I gave you the example of the toolbox. Tools, they stay together in the toolbox. If no, there is no bad apple in there, nothing happens. But the moment there is a bad apple, the sabotage, that shows that unless we stick to the advice, the teachings of the Bible, we'll experience shipwreck. As we go on with that story, Paul says, please stay on board. You will be saved. Some wanted to jump into the sea. And the soldiers were thinking, let's kill them. Because if they swim to shore, they will disappear and will be in trouble. Paul said, no. No one should jump. Remain on board. I like this bit. They were taking off everything from the ship to enlighten the Lord. I'm reminded of the story of Jonah. Jonah said, no, guys, you are taking the wrong stuff out. I am the problem. What is the problem in your body that you need to take out? Maybe that's the one that is avoiding you to listen to good advice. Take it out. Paul says, invest that one. Unless they stay on board, they will not be saved. What is that you have on board that is avoiding you to listen to good advice? Listen to this. In verse 32, the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. You got that? The soldiers cut off the rope that were holding the lifeboats. What is that holding you to save the shipwreck in your life? Cut it off. Cut it off. And you will experience life. When you have cut off all that, I pray the Holy Spirit will be your guidance. Let's look on Galatians 5 verse 16 with the experience of the Holy Spirit and hear what the Bible says. Galatians 5 verse 16 and 17. please. What is it that is holding you? Cut it off. Once you have cut it off, the Holy Spirit will be the leader. The Holy Spirit will be, give you the guide. Listen to this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Full stop. If the Spirit is leading you, you won't experience shipwreck. The last thing is, what is the source of your supply? You know, when they were preparing for this journey, the captain is going to prepare the amount of food the people are going to eat, the amount of fuel, all these things. If he's going to be on sea for 2 weeks, he's going to prepare enough supplies to last for that time. The moment he makes a wrong calculation, he's in trouble. Consider, these guys were lost on sea because the equipment was poor. There was no guidance. They were being tossed from here and there. And I guess they could have lost food as well. Because here they threw some of the wheat that was on the boat, on the ship, into the sea to try and save the ship. So the supply, the source of your supply is very important. Who is supplying your needs? Who is supplying your desires? You are on a crucial journey. So you need supplies to last you all this journey. David, when he was on a similar journey, he said, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the creator of heaven and earth. Who is your supplier? Is your supplier God? If it's not, you experience a shipwreck. Paul also, he writes to the Philippians. He says, and my God will meet all my needs according to his glorious in Christ. Glorious riches in Christ. Who is your supplier? If your supplier is this God of David, you will not experience shipwreck. I tell you, no shipwreck can thwart God's plans that he has for you. I want to ask you one question before I finish. Who is your guide? Are you in a storm right now? Sabotage and supply can wreck your journey. Who is your guide? In my own words, I want to conclude by saying Paul's shipwreck was caused by the centurion and the soldiers ignoring his advice. So are you ignoring the advice that comes from the word of God that you've been taught? If you are, you are experiencing a storm. You might end up in a shipwreck. I say to you, no shipwreck can thwart God's plans. Listen what happened in the end. Paul, after he had advised the 276 men to remain on board, irrespective of what was happening, they cut the ropes, they threw some of the cargo into the sea, and he said, remain on board if you want to be saved. So if you want to be saved, remain on board with Christ, and you'll be saved. Amen? Don't jump into the sea. You'll perish. Remain on board. The 276, they've been tossed around by the waves, but they remained on the ship. But what did they do? They cut off the ropes. They threw the anchors into the sea so that they remain alive. Throw everything into the sea. Throw it away. Cut it off. And remain on board with Christ. And you'll be saved. Listen what happens. As I said to you, no shipwreck can thwart God's plans. The text that we read, if you go to chapter 28, verse 31, you hear what happened in the end. That Paul who had survived the shipwreck, The shipwreck cannot thwart God's plans for you. Listen what happens. Verse 31. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Imagine what happened on the sea. He survived because he wanted to proclaim the message of the gospel. He proclaimed, he prayed vividly without any hindrance. No shipwreck can thwart God's plans that he has for you. You might be in a storm right now. You might be experiencing a shipwreck. Jesus Christ is with you in that. You are not alone. Nothing can thwart what God has planned for your life. You are not here by mistake. God has planned something through you. Again, I want to end by saying, remember, no shipwreck can thwart God's plans. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you, for you are a faithful God. Those sailors on that day, they were told by Paul that the angel of God has told me that remain on board, you won't perish. Father, I'm praying that your children who have heard this message this morning, they will remain on board, remain with Christ. They will not perish. Father, thank you. The psalmist writes to say, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the creator of heaven and earth. Father, we thank you for that promise. If we look forward to you, we'll get help. Thank you, Lord, for your word that speaks the truth. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.